you're taking notes today, the title of our conversation is this. I'd encourage you to take notes. It's how you get into heaven. You write this down. You're not you when you're hungry. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you're not you when you're hungry. If you'd like a subtitle, second title, it's this. Yes, I'd like to see the dessert menu. I'm the type of guy, even if I'm not having dessert, I want to see the dessert menu because I might be back. If you're new to church today, I want to welcome you. And I want you to know something. Is that while you may think it's happenstance that you find yourself in church, it's not. God knew you'd be here today. And there is a call of God on your life. God created you. He loves you. He saved you. And he wants to meet with you today. The good news is that God, here in person and online or online campus, wants to speak to every single person here. Can I get one good amen? We're going to jump into Mark chapter 9 before we pray. Just to give us a little bit of context of where we're going to jump in verse 20. The transfiguration has just taken place. Jesus took three of his disciples with him, and this supernatural moment takes place. This unbelievable moment takes place. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go read about it later. Jesus comes back down from the transfiguration with his three disciples, and he comes back down to a situation. He comes back down to a crowd of people, including his disciples, the rest of his disciples, and they are arguing. How often this is a picture of the church where Jesus looks at the church and instead of doing what he's called us to do, we're arguing with each other, devouring each other. The disciples, they're arguing with the religious scribes, and Jesus asks, hey guys, what's going on? And before anyone can speak up, a man speaks up. Says, Jesus, I brought my son. A dad speaks up. A desperate father says, I brought my son. He's possessed by this evil spirit, this demon that has tormented him. It's made him mute. It's made him uncontrollable. And I brought him to your disciples so they could pray for him, so that they could set him free. And it didn't work. So we jump into verse 20 and it says this, and they brought the boy to him, to Jesus. And the Bible says, when the spirit saw him, saw who? Saw Jesus. Immediately, it convulsed the boy and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. As soon as this demon was confronted with the presence and power of Jesus, and Jesus asked the father an interesting question. He said, how long has this been happening to him, to your son? And he said, from childhood. Jesus gets some context of how long this demon has history with this young man. Verse 22, the father gives more context, and it's often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. Make no mistake, church, the enemy's goal is to destroy your life. And the father says this, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child, imagine the desperation of this dad, watching his son tormented. Immediately, the father of the child, he cries out, he says, I believe. But watch his statement. In the same sentence, he says, I believe, help my unbelief. This is a great picture, I think, of my walk with God. God, I believe. And how often, God, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him." And then Jesus says something interesting, "Never enter him again." I think one of the reasons Jesus says this, because how often we find freedom from things, but we don't guard our hearts, and it will quickly try to find a way back into our life. And after Jesus says this, verse 26, "And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy," watch this, "was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he's dead. This boy lays lifeless on the ground." Verse 27, "But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." What a picture of the gospel. Anybody thankful that while you were seemingly spiritually dead, with no hope, no life, in our sin and shame, that Jesus reached down his hand with his love and his grace and his mercy and lifted you up? Come on, anybody thankful for the gospel? And then this is what I want to focus on today. Jesus walks away with his disciples. His disciples may be a little embarrassed. And so they wait to ask the question until they get away privately with Jesus, and they ask this question, "Jesus," because you got to remember, these disciples, they've casted out demons before. And so they ask Jesus, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Other translations say, "and fasting." Church, there are some strongholds, there are some battles, there is some opposition, and there are some enemies that are not handled by casual Christianity. Matthew 4:4, Jesus is fasting. The Bible says that Jesus was hungry, and the devil comes along and tries to tempt him and says, "Well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these rocks into breadsticks?" That would tempt me. If I had the power to turn rocks into breadsticks, there'd be no rocks left. Jesus says this statement to the devil himself, "Man shall not live by bread alone." This is what we learn as followers of Jesus. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." I've found my Christian journey is learning not to live by the things of the world, but learning to live and breathe by the bread of God. Why don't we pray? Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for your presence today. God, we need you. We acknowledge. We desperately need you. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you for every person that is here, in person and online. We have open hearts and minds to be transformed by the truth of your word, by your presence. Holy Spirit, I ask you today that you help me in my weakness, that you are strong. God, I need your grace, your power, your authority, your anointing. I acknowledge, I am aware that I am nothing without you. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is by your Spirit. Everybody said, "I've got no sports teams left in contention, so I got no sports teams to pray for." Thank you. Church, I know we're in 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're not asking people to fast for 21 days. We're encouraging people to fast for 3 days or one day, one meal. I know that we're doing that. I just need to confess, I love food. I love good restaurants. I love finding good restaurants. I love when new restaurants come into our city. When I travel, I love finding the best, the coolest restaurants of the city that I'm going to. One of the goals that when I travel, when it comes to food, is I want to find out what city has the best chicken Alfredo. I love chicken Alfredo. One of my life missions is to find what city has the best chicken Alfredo in the world. If you're wondering what's at the top of that list currently right now, it's right here in Virginia Beach at a restaurant called Aldo's. If you love chicken Alfredo, when we're done praying and fasting, go there. I'm going to break my fast with chicken Alfredo for breakfast. You think I'm kidding? I love food so much that I don't miss meals. Like, you ever met somebody, that person that's like, man, I just got so busy, I forgot to eat. I forget a lot of things, church. I have never forgotten to eat. Why? Because my body doesn't just tell me when it's lunchtime. It sends warning signals hours before. Josh, we're 2 hours out. When I don't eat, I get hungry. My stomach cries out and it's loud. In fact, my hunger will even interrupt what I'm doing. And what is challenging to me, church, is if I miss time in the Word of God, and if I miss time in prayer, and if I go a while without fasting, my hunger for God doesn't always interrupt me. My hunger for the things of God doesn't always speak up louder than the noise of the world, than the noise of my flesh. Church, how often I am more hungry for the things of the world rather than the things of God. How often my flesh frustrates me. I think about how Paul says in Scripture, he says, I'm frustrated. The things that I don't want to do, that I shouldn't do, I find myself doing them again. The things that I should do, I don't. What is he saying? He's saying there are times when my spirit is weak and my flesh is strong. And so it begs the question, how do I starve my flesh and strengthen my spirit? I would like to suggest the thing that starves and weakens the flesh more than anything else is an ancient practice we see in Scripture. Church, there was something essential to the Christian life we see in God's Word. Something that we see in key figures used greatly by God in the Old Testament, like Moses and Samson and Elijah, Esther. There is something that we see that was vital, that was essential in the life of the early church. There is something that was essential in the life of Paul and the life of Jesus, and it is something that we don't always see in the modern church. And it is something that we don't always see in our life today. What is this thing? This thing is prayer and fasting. Turn to your neighbor and say, why did I come to church today? I got lunch plans. Church, this life that we get to live is an outrageous blessing. What a privilege that we get to live in the nation that we do, in the city that we do. But with it comes spiritual dangers of comfortability. And if we are not careful, we can creep into the comfortable and casual Christian life that has no resemblance of the gospel we see in God's Word. How easy it is, church, in my own life, how easy it is to start living within my own strength, to think that I could live this life without God. And what I start to do is I start to depend on God when I want to. And what happens is my hunger for the world outgrows my hunger for God. You ever been there? Church, the call of a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, the call of the church is not casual and it is not comfortable. This life of a Jesus follower is a life of full surrender, and it is a life of sacrifice. It is a life of living by the Spirit, where we deny our flesh, we crucify our flesh, and we live in step and in tune with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. How do we live in step with the Spirit? Church, how do we crush our flesh? How do we grow a hunger for the things of God? We feed the Spirit. How do we feed the Spirit? By prayer and fasting. By the way, I do not stand here today and pretend to enjoy fasting. I was finishing this message yesterday at a coffee shop with my stupid soda water. And an employee of this coffee shop made some kind of mistake and tried to bring me a freshly cooked breakfast sandwich. Said, this is for you, right? I said, no, I want it to be. 5 minutes later, a different employee yesterday, I thought somebody was pranking me, brought another sandwich. Said, you ordered this, right? I said, y'all got to stop bringing me food. I'm going to cut somebody. Fasting is not fun because fasting is a sacrifice. But it is a physical sacrifice. It is a physical obedience that produces supernatural power and breakthrough in God. What is fasting? Fasting is abstaining from food, yes. But biblical fasting is not just abstaining from food. Biblical fasting is supernatural. Because instead of feasting on food, I feast on the Word of God. I deny the hunger of my flesh and I hunger for the presence of God. It is a time dedicated to seeking God. And when I would normally eat, I pray. And I fill myself with the Word of God. Why is this important? Because if we just fast without prayer, we're just hungry. I love food too much to just be hungry. It's important we understand that we can waste a fast. How? Fasting without prayer. Fasting without prayer is like an Oreo without the middle part. It's not an Oreo, it's just a cookie. What makes an Oreo is the middle part. What makes fasting biblical is prayer. Church, we are not simply skipping a meal. We are dedicating time to seek God above everything and anything else. How long should we fast? We see in Scripture, people fast for different lengths of time for different reasons. We see in Scripture, people fasting from sunup to sundown. Fasting for 1 day, 3 days, 7 days. Daniel did a 21-day partial fast. Essentially abstain from anything but fruits and veggies. We see multiple 40-day fasts in Scripture. From Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. These are supernatural fasts where the Spirit of God sustained them. I do not encourage you to participate in a 40-day fast unless God clearly tells you to. Here's the thing, church. Social media fasting and fasting treats, it's good, it's beneficial, and I would encourage you to do so, but it is not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about, the Bible shows us. Fasting is abstaining from food. And when we would eat, we pray. We are in 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're encouraging our church family to fast for 3 of those days. Many of us, we can fast for those 3 days. Many of us, we've never fasted before. I would encourage you with this. Fast one meal. Fast one meal in these 21 days. Take time to pray and seek God. There are people here today, and the Holy Spirit is nudging on your heart right now to fast more than 3 days. Turn to your neighbor and say, not me. I love the story. The same guy that you saw in that video in my community group told me, he said his son asked him about fasting, and so they are fasting together, father and son, for the first time for an entire day, 3 meals. They're gonna pray and fast together. Just a little bit of context, maybe for those of us who are gonna fast for the first time, when you start your fast, even if it's one meal, you're gonna find your stomach's gonna start to talk to you. It's gonna tell you to eat, because it's used to eating. I got good news. You can tell your stomach to be quiet. And this is when we pray and feast on the word of God. You may get a dry mouth. You may get bad breath. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need some gum. You may get dizzy. You may get a headache. These are all normal things. They will all pass. And don't be surprised. This is important. And when you commit to fasting, don't be surprised when the whisper of the enemy starts speaking to you and questioning why you are praying and fasting. This last week, somebody decided to eat a Chick-fil-A chicken burrito in front of me. And the whisper of the enemy was whispering to me. The good news is, if you choose to fast longer than 3 days, the hunger pains begin to change. And you actually start to feel rejuvenated. Why are we fasting together as a church? Why? Why together as a church? We see in Scripture there are times when there are corporate calls to pray and fast. And as we step into another year, I cannot think of a better thing to do to start our year as a church family. Before we plan, before we go, before we move, before we do anything, God, we want to do it for your glory. And so we pray and we fast together. God, we are seeking you first together. We are praying and fasting because we are hungry for you, for more of you, God. For less of me and more of him. We are praying and fasting together to be realigned with the Spirit, that our eyes may be fixed on Jesus again. We pray and fast together to seek first the kingdom of heaven, to give God full access to our minds, our bodies, our spirit, and our soul. When we fast, we are simply showing God, God, as a church family, we are serious about seeking you. And I know, we know we cannot impress God with our fasting, with our praying. We cannot earn favor and blessing. But we pray and fast simply to draw near to him, to clear any distraction and any funk that may be within or around me. Church, we pray and we fast to hunger again for his presence. And we know he rewards those who diligently seek him. And please understand, church, the greatest reward is his presence. I wonder, church, how hungry are we for the things of God? Think about that. How hungry are we for the things of God? Or have we drifted off course? How often in my own life I have drifted off course? How often I've drifted into going through the motions and my hunger for God has dwindled? How often we see in American church culture, we just come to church when we can. And we go through the motions in worship and we read God's word when we can. How often we see in the modern American church, there is no hunger for the presence of God. And my friends, this is the power of prayer and fasting, because when we drift off course, prayer and fasting wakes me up again. God, I need to hunger for you again. The Bible says that God is searching for those who seek him. May the cry of this house of Wave Church be a cry of hunger for him. God, we need you. I'm praying there are people listening to me today who will not go through another year casually following Jesus. We will not go through another year of naturally feeding just our hunger for the things of the world, but we would start feeding the hunger for God. Is there anybody in Wave Church today and you are hungry for the things of God, for the things of heaven? Church, whether for good or for bad, our hunger drives us. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Hunger drove Esau to give up his birthright. For good or for bad, hunger drives us. Esau was so hungry that he allowed his hunger to give up his birthright. Hunger drove the prodigal son back home. Did you know that? Luke 15 says this, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. The prodigal son says, I'm hungry. I will set out and go back to my father. Church, what do we hunger for? What do we hunger for? As we close, why is it when we talk of fasting, there is such resistance? I would suggest because it is a sacrifice. And we live in a world where we worship comfort and immediate gratification. And sacrifice is difficult. And we would rather deny God than deny the pleasures of this world. I would also suggest there is resistance to fasting. And we cannot forget this because the enemy does not like when you pray and fast. Why doesn't the enemy like fasting? You can write these down. Number one, because fasting humbles me. David says in Psalm 35, I humbled myself with fasting. Secondly, fasting reveals what controls me. When I pray and fast, it begins to reveal the sin that so easily entangles my life. It reveals what controls me. Do things control me? Do pleasures control me? Does sin control me? Do habits control me? Does money control me? Number three, fasting gives room for God to move. The devil don't like that. I love what Richard Foster says in his book, Celebration of Discipline. He says, fasting can bring breakthrough in the spiritual realm that will not happen in any other way. Number four, fasting opens the door for supernatural miracles. I am praying for miracles this year. There are people in my life who need a miracle in their health, and I am praying and believing for supernatural miracles this year. Number five, fasting prepares me for God's will and his answer. Maybe the greatest picture of our purpose and posture for fasting is seen in a desperate moment in the life of David. David's son is on his deathbed. David's son is dying. And so David enters into prayer and fasting, praying for his son. And of course, he's praying and asking God to heal his son. But God doesn't answer the prayer in the way that he was hoping. And David's response is so challenging to me because he does not complain to God about his fasting demand that didn't work. The Bible says that David cleaned himself up, he anointed himself, and he spent time in worship. It's as if David's fasting wasn't just a demand for a specific answer, but his fasting was to prepare him for God's answer. Maybe the greatest posture we take as a church in our prayer and fasting is, God, humble me. God, prepare me for your answer, for your will, for your ways. I will ask and I will believe. And church, there are things we should be asking and believing in these 21 days. There are things that I am declaring by faith. There are miracles. There is provision that I am believing for. There is spiritual breakthrough that I have faith for. But my greatest request in my prayer and fasting is, God, prepare me for what you want to do. Number six, fasting gives godly guidance and revelation. There are those here today, and you have very important decisions you need to make in your life. About your family, about relationships, about your business. This is a time to pray and fast and seek guidance from heaven. Number seven, fasting inclines my ear to the whisper of heaven. The Bible says there was a time the early church was praying and fasting, and this powerful statement is said as they were praying and fasting. The Bible says the Holy Spirit spoke. There is a whisper of heaven that is only heard in prayer and fasting. Church, the Holy Spirit will speak. Number eight, fasting gets me out of a spiritual funk. Number nine, fasting turns my heart back to him. The enemy does not like that. Fasting turns my heart back to him. Maybe you're here today and you've turned from God and you feel unworthy, you feel shame. Friend, God says, return to me and I will return to you. Pray and fast. Find the power of repentance. Repentance is found in prayer and fasting. Freedom is found in prayer and fasting. The enemy wants you to keep living with shame. Jesus came that you would have life. Life to the full, freedom. Can I get an amen? Number 10, fasting disconnects me from the world and prayer reconnects me to God. Number 11, fasting starves my flesh and reminds my flesh who has authority. The last one is this. As the keys begin to play, because it just sounds better. I want to focus on this one. And then we're done. Fasting breaks spiritual strongholds. Church, there are some things that are only seen, that are only broken, that are only loosed in the spirit through prayer and fasting. Remember, the disciples who had already casted out demons before, this was not their first rodeo. And they're unable to cast out this demon to free this young man. And Jesus shows up and casts out the demon, sets the young man free. And the disciples ask Jesus, why couldn't we cast out this demon? And Jesus says, this kind is only through prayer and fasting. Church, there are some demons that are not bothered until we pray and fast. that is only through prayer and fasting. May I remind us, we do not battle in flesh and blood. And too much of the American church, we are unaware of what is going on in the spirit. And there are things in our lives, in our city, and in our nation, in the world, in the spirit realm that are not dealt with sporadic church attendance. And they are not dealt with a nice grace before dinner. And it is not dealt with casual Christianity. There are some spiritual strongholds that are only broken in the place of prayer and fasting. What am I saying? I'm saying there are some battles that are only won in the place of prayer and fasting. Make no mistake, there are some things that God does for those who pray and fast, for those who diligently seek Him. Church, 2025 is a year and it is a time to win some battles. Can I get an amen? It is a time to upset some devils that have gotten too comfortable in our life. There are some kind of demons and darkness that have gotten too used to being around our home and our city. And the only thing that will ruffle some demon feathers is when the church humbles itself before God and we seek Him and we pray and we fast together. When we get serious about seeking Him, you watch the authority of heaven invade your life. The motive of our fasting is to seek Him. God, that I'd be hungry for You. Church, I fast not because I like to. I fast because Jesus assumes that I fast. He says in the scripture to His disciples, He says, when you fast, doesn't say if, when you fast. Church, I am praying and fasting in these 21 days for answers from God. I am praying for path and fasting for people in my life who are lost to find Jesus this year. And the core of my prayer and fasting is, God, here I am again. I want to hunger for You. God, speak to Your Son. Cleanse me. Break what needs to be broken. Forge what needs to be forged. Remove what needs to be removed. God, I am Your vessel. Help me to see what You see. Help me to want what You want, to desire what You desire, to say what You want me to say, to pray what You want me to pray. God, that You would stir my faith, cultivate my faith to believe, help my unbelief. I'm praying for prodigal sons and daughters to come home. That as we hunger for God, and as we pray for family members who are away from God, for friends who are away from God, that the hunger of God would be awakened in them. Not a hunger for the things of the world, but for the things of God. I'm praying that there are moms and dads in our church today, and this year your son or daughter will be worshiping next to you. And church, I pray that maybe the greatest takeaway from our conversation this morning isn't that we would just in these 21 days pray and fast, but that it would be incorporated into our life, into the rhythm of our life. Maybe we fast one meal a week. Maybe we fast one meal or one day a month. It becomes a part. Rhythm of our life. Can I get an amen?